Welcome to Fly High Ministries, everybody. Really good to be with you today. I pray that Jesus is blessing you and keeping you, no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing. Today's message, we're going to be talking about what the Bible says about beheadings. Lately in the news, we've been hearing a lot about beheadings and decapitations. So, what does the Bible say? Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 4. 2 Samuel chapter 4. When Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost courage, and all Israel became alarmed. Now Saul's son had two men who were leaders of raiding bands. One was named Benah, and the other Rechab. They were sons of Rimmon the Berethite from the tribe of Benjamin. And Bereth is considered part of Benjamin because the people of Bereth fled to Gittim and have lived there as aliens to this day. So Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as he hurried to leave, he fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth. Now Rechab and Baana, the son of Rimmon, the Berethite, set out for the house of Ish-bosheth. And they arrived there in the heat of the day while he was taking his noonday rest. They went into the inner part of the house as if to get some wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and his brother Baana slipped away. They had gone into the house while he was lying on the bed in his bedroom. After they stabbed and killed him, they cut his head off. So here we have two men, Rechab and Baana. They go into Ish-bosheth, and they stab this guy. They hit him while he's lying in his bed, and first they kill him, and then they cut his head off. And so they took his head. The Bible says they take it with them. They traveled all night by way of the Arabah. They brought the head of Ish-bosheth to David at Hebron and said to the king, "Here is the head of Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, your enemy who tried to take your life. This day the Lord has avenged my lord the king against Saul and his offspring." And so David answered Rechab and his brother Baana, the son of Rimmon the Berethite, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of all troubles, when the man told me Saul is dead and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and put him to death in Ziklag. That was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more when wicked men have killed an innocent man in his own house and on his own bed, should I not now demand his blood from your hand and rid the earth of you?" So David gave an order to his men, and they killed them. They cut off their hands and feet and hung their bodies on the pool of Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbeth and buried it to Abner's tomb of Hebron. So here we have a couple of followers of David thought that they were doing right. And they hit this guy, Ish-bosheth. Then they stab him, then they cut his head off. Well, David thought this was a murderous act, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to rid you of the earth." And so what did King David do? Well, he cut off their hands and he cut off their feet. Meanwhile, he took the head of Ish-bosheth and he buried it in the ground. You see, the Bible talks a lot about beheadings and decapitations. We see that two people, Baanah and Rechab, they murdered Ishbosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 4. And how did they do that? Well, first they hit him, they stabbed him until he was dead. Then they cut his head off. So what does the Bible say about this kind of decapitation? Well, we see it all the time in the media. We see some of the most gruesome executions on television today. These kind of executions are when that person is alive. They're literally, they do it when the person's alive. So this is the worst kind of execution. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 54, then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put the weapons in his tent. So King David, not only did he order these two men to have their hands and feet cut off, but King David also, after he killed Goliath, after he threw a stone and hit it in the forehead, he also cut the head off of Goliath. So remember that David first killed Goliath and then he beheaded him. So even during some of these executions, we see a little compassion in the Bible that they didn't execute him while they're alive. And so if we go to 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 9, and let's read. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. We see that Saul takes his own life. And Saul, he fell on his sword and he died. So Saul and his three sons and his armor bearers and all his men died together the same day. So they all died at the same day. And the next day when the Philistines came and to strip the dead, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. So what did they do? Well, they cut off the heads and they stripped them of their armor and they sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines who proclaimed the news in the temple of their idols and among their people. And they put his armor in the temple of Ashtoreth and fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. So, pretty gruesome. What did they do? Well, they cut the heads off. They decapitated Saul's head. So, we know Saul was trying to kill David. Well, he died. He fell on his sword and then they took his head. But most more gruesome, not only did they chop off his head, but they stapled the body of Saul to the wall. It's pretty gruesome. But once again, the common theme here is both of these men that they were already dead. That's not what we're seeing today. These executions on television, they're literally cutting their heads off while they're alive. That's one of the worst forms of execution. It was one of the worst forms of executions. So, in the Bible talks a lot about decapitations. It talks a lot about people's heads getting cut off. Just like we're seeing today, it's a pretty gruesome act. It's a pretty evil act. And we know today that there's a lot of different forms of executions. Some people are being executed with a shot in the head. Some people are being lined up. And they're being gunned down with machine guns. And then their whole bodies are being bulldozed and buried under the ground. There's a lot of different other kinds of executions that we see. Jesus Christ, when he was crucified while alive on the cross, very brutal kind of execution. One execution that I want to talk about is about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was beheaded. So we know that King David beheaded Goliath after he was dead. And we know these two men that were loyal to David, Baanah and Rechab, in 2 Samuel chapter 4, when they murdered Ishbosheth, well, They hit him, they stabbed him, then they beheaded him. And so the question is here, which is very interesting. When we go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 10, we're going to see there was a famous prophet, John, and he was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he was sent to prison, and then he was beheaded, and they took his head and they brought it on a platter, and it was given to a girl, and she brought it to her mother. So what did the king Herod do? Well, he sent the executioner, one of his guards in attendance, and he was an imperial guard, and what did he do? Well, he commanded his head to be brought, and he went and he beheaded him in prison. So the question is here is, how was John the Baptist beheaded? Now, the Bible isn't very clear how he was beheaded. He could have been beheaded. They could have killed him first and then beheaded him. They could have took his head and put it over some kind of log or something and then cut his head off with a sword. We don't know, but we know that when John the Baptist was beheaded, there was a lot of things going on with Herod. Herod started feeling really guilty. Herod started wondering. He started believing himself that John the Baptist was alive. He started believing that John the Baptist was alive. So after the king sent the executioner and commanded his head to be brought, he went and beheaded him, right? And what did he do? Well, the executioner, and they brought his head in like this bag, and he gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother, and Herodias, Herod's wife, she did not just shed the blood of a stern reprover, but she only got it done and then gloated over it as a streamed from the trunkless head. So once again, they cut off John the Baptist's head. Just like today, we see on television, we see the American's head being cut off, just like John the Baptist's head was cut off. Well, very interesting about this whole thing was, after John the Baptist's head was cut off, in Mark chapter 6, verse 16, but when Herod heard of it, he kept saying, "John, whom I beheaded, has risen." So, something was telling Herod after he beheaded John the Baptist, he's saying, "I know he's alive." And so Herod started getting paranoid. He started hearing voices in his head. He started going crazy and he couldn't get it out of his head. And so all these thoughts he had started to stick really close to him. And they continued with him. He was being tormented. He could not get rid of it, nor persuaded himself. To the contrary, he couldn't get John the Baptist out of his head. He was very much being tormented. Nor could any of his servants get Herod off John the Baptist. But he affirmed it with the greatest assurance imaginable. These different sentiments of the people concerning Jesus greatly perplexed the minds of Herod, as appears in Luke 9:7-9. For it was first given out of others, but not by Herod, than John the Baptist was. So here we have Herod beheaded John the Baptist, took his head and put it on a silver platter and passed it around during while eating. I don't know about you, that's the most disgusting thing. But after the incident, the Bible says that Herod started confirming, and he knew in his conscience, and he knew in his spirit, that John the Baptist was alive. Even though he was beheaded, he was still resurrected. So all of this hearing gave Herod this great uneasiness, and he thoroughly considered the matter. He called the mind and how he could use him and imprison him and put him in death. And at first he could not receive it. Then, since he was beheaded by him, he should be restored to life. But hearing of the miracles that were done by him, his conscience accused him. His fancy worked, And at length he firmly believed it, that he must be risen, and is in his sentiment, which he himself gave unto the last, distressed him above all the rest, because of his concern in his death, fearing he has come to life, to take vengeance on him, it might not sit very easy upon his mind to bear that Elias had appeared the forerunner of the Messiah, the King of the Jews, Jesus Christ, who himself might be quickly expected, and who he might fear would seize upon and take away the part of the kingdom which he possessed of it, or even to be told. So Herod knew that this prophet has risen from the dead. And he was shocked by him. He was so uneasy by him. He knew that the resurrection power was still on John the Baptist. And just like Jesus Christ, when he was crucified on the cross, he was resurrected. And so, even though John the Baptist was beheaded, he was resurrected. And this is great comfort. Now, today we see a lot of this. It's very evil under the sun. But the Bible talks a lot about it. And the Bible talks a lot about beheadings. And these kind of beheadings, it's nothing new under the sun. We've seen it century after century after century after century. But the Bible does talk a lot about decapitations and beheadings and matter of fact, these kind of executions. These kind of executions happened a lot. And one of them was John the Baptist. Of course, he was beheaded for telling people about Jesus Christ. So the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 27, immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back his head. And he went and had him beheaded in the prison. And so, you know, John the Baptist, he was in prison probably for 12 months, the Bible says. And the Bible says he was in prison for about 12 months, and then after those 12 months, well, he was beheaded. And so here we have what the king's guard signifies, that they bear a short lance. And the king's guard was so called because they bore short lances. And so in Luke 9:9, the Bible says that Herod said, I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. You see, even though Herod beheaded John, he didn't know what he looked like, but he knew he was a prophet deep down. And he knew after the beheading that John the Baptist arose. So Herod started becoming very guilty, and his soul started to tremble at the message of John the Baptist and the mighty teachings and deeds of Jesus Christ, indicating the tremendous impact that Jesus Christ's ministry had upon the total population in that day. So, Jesus' true identity here formed a topic of conversation in the courts of Herod. So during their palace and in the courts, Herod was being tormented by John the Baptist after the beheading of John the Baptist, as well as being a matter of discussion in the sacred company of the Lord and his apostles in Luke 19. So great were the deeds of Jesus that the popular mind was required to seek a comparison only in the lives of the righteous dead among the great names of the Hebrew history. So here we have. John the Baptist confirming by Herod that he arose from the dead. Herod was paranoid. The guilt laid upon him. Herodias and her daughter, the guilt lay upon their conscience also. And here we have Herod, he even dreaded the appearance of John as he fancied. And if he was a Sadducee before, as he had been taught to be, he now changed his mind and he started to believe in the resurrection from the dead. So here we have Herod, who ordered the execution of John the Baptist to be beheaded. He started to believe in the resurrection after John was beheaded. And so the first person that turned around and started believing the resurrection of John the Baptist was here. So the resurrection power was on John the Baptist, and the resurrection power was on Jesus Christ, and this resurrection power is still here today. Yes, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what the Bible says about beheadings and decapitations and these kind of gruesome executions that we are now seeing on television. But Herod became guilty. Herod became very guilty, and he couldn't face the facts that what was really happening here. And he knew in his soul and his spirit that John the Baptist was still alive. John the Baptist was still alive. Very interesting today. And so in Revelation 20, chapter 20, verse 4, when I saw thrones and they sat upon them, the judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus Christ and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast of his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hands, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So what we have Christians that are being beheaded. Today, Christians are being beheaded. They're being decapitated. They're being executed. And this is no different. Why? Because they didn't take the mark of the beast, the Bible says. The 666. They didn't take the chip. They didn't follow the beast or the beast system. This is what happened in that day. They did not worship the beast. Well, who is the beast or his image? Well, that's the New World Order. That's this control grid. They didn't take the mark. They didn't take it. They didn't put the mark on their forehead or in their hand. Right now, biometrics, scanners, RFID chips, all this is moving towards the mark, the cashless society. We're moving towards the mark. Well, a lot of Christians, and as you see the beast, as it continued to rise up, or we can say it was another Tower of Babel, as it starts to rise up, and we're starting to get global, there's going to be some people that aren't going to take this mark. Well, these people will, according to the Bible, they'll be beheaded. And they'll be beheaded, why? Because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, we know in the Bible, some of the disciples were also beheaded. And so, one way, we see John the Baptist, for his testimony of Jesus, was also beheaded. Literally, they cut off the heads. They decapitated them. But, you know, what we see today on television is so evil. We see this executioner, this man behind the mask, he's beheading these Americans and these Britons while they're still alive. This is probably a sick kind of execution. But Jesus Christ was also, when he was on the cross, he was crucified while still alive. But the kind of execution that we're seeing is so evil, so out of control. But it's nothing new under the sun. It's in the Bible. What does the Bible say about beheadings and decapitations? And we all saw the three brutal executions, these three horrifying videos. We all saw the Western captives dressed in orange prison-style jumpsuits. We've all seen them kneeling in the desert with the blue, bright blue sky behind them, and then we see this masked executioner lords over him wielding a large knife. And then the victim's last words are seemingly scripted by his captors. The masked man speaks, he lifts the blade, and then what does he do? He beheads him. It's evil. But it's nothing new, and it is in the Bible. But I want to tell you that what's interesting with John the Baptist is when he was beheaded, the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection power, only got stronger. The resurrection power only got stronger. And I want to tell you today that the resurrection power of Jesus is only going to get stronger in America. The resurrection power of Jesus is only going to get stronger. And just like John the Baptist was beheaded, and Jesus Christ was crucified, in the end, the resurrection power of Jesus only got stronger. And I'm here to tell you today that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is only going to get stronger in this time. And Jesus Christ's resurrection was confirmed in the beheading of John the Baptist. His resurrection power is going to move in a great and mighty way in America. And I'm here to tell you it's time to rise up again, folks. It's time to take Jesus once again. It's time to take the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And even though they beheaded John the Baptist, he arose. He arose. Herod confirmed that. And even though they crucified Jesus, he arose. He arose. America, it's time to arise once again, and it's time to embrace Jesus Christ. Yes, we need Jesus back in America, and we need Him now.
You're with your baby.